The following message by Pastor Bob Sheridan is brought to you by the ministries of Palos Bible Church. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.
Would you open your Bibles tonight? We've been going through a series looking at different proverbs. No, parables. It's another P word. Okay, you guys all listen really closely and catch me if I mess up again, because I'm sure I won't. But go with me to Matthew chapter 6 first. We've got a couple places we're going to go, but Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, a part of the Sermon on the Mount. Well, Beatitudes is chapter 5, but then 5, 6, and 7, all of it is a part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached. It's all a part of one message. So we pick up knowing he's in the same place that he was back in chapter 5. He's still there on the mountainside, and he is teaching them along the Sea of Galilee. He had talked about the things that they do and why they should do them in the early part of chapter 6, verse 5. Pick it up there. It says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen, for they think they will be heard for their many words." So there's a couple of things regarding prayer that Jesus ends up saying, first of all, what not to do. The first one is to be aware. Doesn't say don't pray in public, but we need to be aware when we pray in public who we're really talking to. And what we are aware of, and he points it out, he says, you know what? They look for the public places, standing in the synagogue or in the corners of streets, and he points it right out there, that they may be seen by men. Rule of thumb. Prayer in private, long, pour out your heart. Prayer in public, shorter, to the point. Does that make sense? Because when you begin praying in public, you know what? People end up praying around the world in public and, you know, and praying for this and praying for that. I don't know everybody's motives. Jesus knew their motives, so he can call them out, okay? I'm just going to say that prayers in public need to be focused and shorter, okay? Many years ago, there was a testimony of a man who said that he went to a meeting, and it would have been D.L. Moody, you know, who was preaching, the one who was founded Moody Bible Institute many, many years ago. But he said that he was there at the meeting to hear him, and a pastor got up to pray, and he, pardon me, droned on and on. Pastors don't do this, do they? It just seemed like it was going on, and the guy who was sitting there just went, you know, that's it. And he was about to get up and leave. And D.L. Moody came up to the podium and said, "As our brother closes in his prayer, let's go ahead and turn to hymn number whatever." And he took over the service, and it kept on going, and the man stayed, and he heard the gospel, and he got saved. Public prayers. Sometimes we can, listen, some people say, "Oh, I can't pray in public." Listen, there's nothing wrong with praying in public, okay? In fact, public prayer is a part of what the Scripture encourages us to go to. I don't want to get into that passage right now, but it was a part of what they did. In Acts chapter 2, the New Testament church came together. And what were they doing? Well, there was doctrine, you know, and there was fellowship, and there was breaking of bread, and there was prayer. They spent time. And so praying with other people, it's not bad. It's good to do. But you be aware that there is this thing within us. Why? Because we're human beings, okay? It's not like something's wrong with you. It's that this is a tendency that we have, and the religious leadership, they did nothing about it. They love to be able to pray in public. And some people might even listen to them and say, "Wow, I can't pray like that." Yeah, well, it didn't really impress the Lord. Know that, okay? Because God's looking where? Yeah, you know here at Payless, God's looking at our heart. It's not your vocabulary he's critiquing. It's your heart that he's looking at. But we are told, number one, this praying in public thing, you know, oh, Lord, you are awesome. You are great. You are, and maybe you go through a thesaurus before you pray so that you've got all of these big, long words and people just go, wow, there's something else that they can do that. It's not what it's about. And so he calls them out and says, don't do that. Number two, he ends up calling them out, and he says, listen to this. He said, verse 7, when you pray, do not use what? Vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. I want to talk with you about this for a moment, but I first want to be clear. If you've prayed about something, but you still have a burden on your heart, what should you do? You should pray about it. You say, I already did. Is it lack of faith? Like I'm thinking he didn't hear me and I got to say it again? No, no, no. Vain repetition I grew up with. It is a series of learned prayers that you recited. You know what? The background that I ended up coming through, you went to a priest and you ended up, hypothetically, if I did anything wrong, you understand this, okay? But they would give you things to be able to say. They'd say, you know, five Hail Marys and five Our Fathers and something else and whatever else would go on. And you'd say it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Like that does something. That's vain repetition. You will find other religions around the world, and they will pray certain words over, 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 over. That's vain repetition. It's not a burden of your heart that you pray, and there's still a burden. You with me? You pour out your heart. You pray, and you pray, and you pray. And then the next time that you come before him, if it's a burden on your heart, you pray, and you pray, and you pray. You with me? There's something about that. And so I just wanted to start by being able to point out when Jesus is teaching, you know, number one, don't pray for public viewing, you know, that it's all about what other people think about your prayers. And by the way, we sometimes struggle with that. If asked to pray and you're around other people, you may wonder, well, how'd I do? Guess what? It's not about us. Did you pour out your heart? Then you pleased Almighty God. You with me? So, but vain repetition, the term is here, and some people as a result of it struggle, and they go through a guilt trip that is of no need to be able to go through, which leads us to the passage that I want to go to, which is in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Verse 5. He said to them, it's in the midst of continued teaching. And by the way, Jesus didn't only give a message one time. Do you know that? It's not like, you know, I already shared that message when I was in Perea, and now I'm going to be in Damascus. I can't share that same message because I already shared it once. No, they never heard it. So it's not unusual. In fact, you will find guest speakers, they've got a few well-worn passages of Scripture, and that's not bad, you know? The point is they really know what they know, and they end up, you know, being able to share it. I don't have that same privilege, you know? I've got different portions of Scripture, and I got to stay in the Word and continue being able to go through. But back to the text, he has been teaching, and now he shares, and Luke picks it up and says, and he said to them, verse 5, chapter 11, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. Ouch. I mean, it's one thing to be lean and it's, you know, end of the week or end of the month or whatever would be going on. But back in those days when people came, it was culture that you would show hospitality. Even before coming to Christ. That was a part of the culture. You can go, today, even to nomadic people, and you know what? They invite you into the tent, and they end up giving you something to be able to eat. So if you're not ready to eat what they offer, be aware going into those tents, okay? Because you may not be ready for it, but they're giving you what they have. And you don't refuse that. But the point of it was that they give, whether they have a lot or not. So here in this story, that's what parables are. They're stories that have a deeper meaning that he's seeking to get across. He ends up saying, friend, lend me three loaves. A friend of mine has come on a journey. I have nothing to set before him. And he'll answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. So the concept is, it's late. You've already taken off your clothes and you're in bed. Why are you coming now? Tomorrow, come on back and we'll talk. But no, not now. But he goes on and says, I cannot rise and give to you. Verse 8, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to you because he is his friend, yet because of his what? Persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Persistence. This is what God wants us to understand. Don't ever confuse vain repetition, saying the same words over and over and over again, and sometimes putting your brain in neutral, been there, done that, when what God's calling us to is persistence. You've got somebody on your heart, a loved one. They're in rebellion. The direction that they're going, you know what? How long will they be around if they stay with that crowd, if they begin to stay down this path that leads to total destruction? And you care, and you pour out your heart, and you pour out your heart, and you weep until you have no more tears. You know what I'm talking about? Don't let the enemy put a guilt trip on you with that term vain repetition. Jesus, who talked about vain repetition, gives us this story of a man that goes to the house of a friend and he wants some bread, three loaves of bread. And even though he wouldn't have done it because he was his friend, he's not putting down friendship, but come on, it's midnight. What are you doing coming to my house now? Because of their persistence, you get up and you give to him. Now, this is a story. You with me? So I don't need you critiquing, and saying, he should have got up. You should have done this and that. Stop. What he's trying to do is to talk about something deeper. This isn't about bread, okay? Keep on going just a little further. And he says, so I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. He goes on, and he shares an additional parable, and the parable is found in not just here in verse 11 of Luke 11, but does anybody have any other little note to you? Where else is this passage found? Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Has a parallel passage that's found in, if you don't have it, it's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to bounce back to Matthew. So we started in Matthew. Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 7. So this story is shared in this context, and here it is. And what does he say? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Listen, I want you to see something important, and I need to share it with you because this is in English, but it was written in Greek. So here's what you need to know. These three verbs were all in the present tense active. So what? I hear you. I understand. We don't speak Greek. It's not what we go with. What does it mean? Here's what it means. It means that it is a continual action. that they were to be continuing. So literally, here's what we can say. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And you will receive. What is prayer? It's pouring out my heart before God. Maybe you pray, and the first time that you pray, you get an answer. Praise God. Is God able to answer instantaneously? We're not limiting God in this auditorium. You need to know He is Almighty God. Does God always act instantaneously? And we can ask why, but we don't always understand, do we? But if there's a burden on your heart and you've prayed for it, pray again. Some people end up saying, how many times should you pray? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul had a thorn in the flesh and he prayed three times, so therefore you should pray three times. This is why the context is so important. And you do not listen here. You do not use a narrative passage, which is it's narrating a specific thing that happened, and make a doctrine out of it. Do you know what I know? I know because it says it that Paul prayed three times. That's all I know. How many times should you pray? Until the burden is gone. You pray and you pray. And you pray, and you pray. I know parents that have been praying for children for years. And you wonder, is it worth it? You wonder, you know what? Nothing's changing. Why should I keep on praying? Because you have a burden on your heart. You bring it before the Lord. What should you do? You should ask. You should keep on asking. You should, you know, seek. You should keep on seeking. You should knock. You should keep on knocking. You continue in an attitude of dependence before God. And when God brings about an answer, we give Him the praise and we give Him the glory. Sometimes God's answer is yes, but the timing wasn't right. We don't know that. We don't understand that. We pour out our heart in the burden. Sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray, and we begin to realize that's not even the right prayer. Think about it for a moment. Is it God's will that every one of us is going to be healthy all the time, every time? Right? Then we like live forever here on earth? Thank you, Lord, you've got a timing that I get to leave this earth. Can I get an amen? You know what I'm saying? God's got so much better for us. And so we don't know. I've had people, I go up, they're in a coma, and the family ends up wanting me to pray. And I am the senior pastor at Palos Bible Church. Certainly, my prayer will be heard, and they will come back from that coma and from that brain damage that went on, and everything will go well. Listen, I'm not even praying the way that they're thinking. I'm asking God to make His will clear. Does that make sense? But how do you pray? You pray persistently. And that's very simply what I need us to know. Because the average believer, we don't pray. I'm sorry. I just got to be flat out straight with you. Too many Christians have a poor to non-existent prayer life. He uses this illustration, you know, of being able to have there be a persistent prayer to be able to take away the concept of waiting until there's a crisis. You know, that 911 prayer. Now, by the way, does God hear 911 prayers? Thank God. When a crisis comes, God will hear. But on what basis do you wait until a 911 moment to pray? And the concept is, no, that there ought to be a persistence in our prayer life. We ought to be in an attitude of prayer that continues to go on. We keep on praying. Look here at this is why I wanted this passage back here in Matthew chapter 7. Because after he talks about, and you now know that the verb is saying, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. You with me? You know that. That's what it means, even though it may just say the word in English. he goes on and says in verse 8, "For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened." We know it does not mean that anything you ask for, you get. God, $1 million. I'll tithe. I will tithe on it. Do you realize if God answered that prayer, it could destroy you? I'm telling you, there's a reason why God asks us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Why? Because he knows that there's something in us that if we could do it and we don't think we need him, we sometimes go forward without depending on him. No, we need him daily. And so that's the way that he asks us to pray, in that kind of a mindset, to have an attitude of dependence on a regular basis. But he goes on and he says this in verses 10 and 11, and I love it. He says, start in verse 9, obviously, "For what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" A stone, you know, rounded thing. It might look like bread, but, you know, who'd do that? And maybe you know somebody who's just tough on his kids and would. But he says, listen, what man is there among you who, is, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? It's just not the norm. Or if he asks for a fish, would he give him a serpent or a snake? Verse 11, here's the point. "If you then, being evil," who's he talking to? Us. I'm a father and a grandfather. And I know that if there's a way that I could bless, I want to bless. Would I compare myself with God? No, I never, ever, ever would. You know what I'm talking about? Here we are, human, with our frailties and our problems and our struggles. But as a parent, you care. He says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" And we leave with this concept, which is, who is he? He is God Almighty. He is the one who is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He is our Heavenly Father. Some of us in this room grew up in homes that weren't enjoyable. You know, praise God for fathers that were there and that care and love. But some of us, that's not the case. But my Heavenly Father is nothing like my earthly father. And to learn more about my Heavenly Father is to realize that as I persist in prayer, it's not vain repetition. It honors him, and he wants to be at work in your life. What is a part of the life of every believer who is walking in obedience to Christ? And the answer is prayer. It's a basic, fundamental, that is not an extravagant thing when you have time, but ought to be a basic necessity of living for him. Amen? I mean, we think about the armor of God, and there was one person years ago who almost committed suicide. Something hit them that was so heavy, and they didn't know what to do, and they went through a hard time. And when I got them one-on-one, the first thing we sat down is that we opened our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, and we began to go through the armor of God. You know? And we talked about the belt of truth, the commitment to integrity. And we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, the commitment to do what's right in his eyes. You know, and we talked about the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's a purpose that you're here. In the midst of the heartache, God wants to use you, and others need him. Stay around. Stay with it. We talked about the shield of faith. And then we talked about the helmet of salvation. Come on, you know what's next, right? And we talked about the sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God. But you know what verse 16 says? Praying with all. Prayer's not just something, it's everything. That attitude of talking with Him, it is a part of the armor of God. If it's discussed as separate from it, we don't understand it properly. It's integrated together with that believer's equipment 101 in order to live in the midst of this world with all of his struggles and problems. And how do we pray? We ask, and we keep on asking. And we seek, and we keep on seeking. And we knock, and we keep on knocking. Because we have a heavenly what? Father. And he loves us. And he wants to answer our requests. May there be opportunity to brag on our God as we think about prayer. Not just as we come before him with our burdens and our needs, but how often has God been there for you? Huh? Over and over and over and over. Every good and perfect gift has come from the Father of lights. God himself is the one who's given you everything that you have. He is our heavenly Father. May you be encouraged. May you be blessed. And may you have a deeper resolve to this week be a man, a woman of prayer. Amen? Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to understand your will. Help us, Lord, to realize that persistence in prayer is core to what you desire for us to do. We thank you, Lord, for your teaching. And we recognize, Lord, that there were some who heard the same stories that we're hearing and never changed. Oh, God, may that not be us. I'm praying, Lord, that as we hear your word, that there would be within us a sense of being able to say, Lord, how can I integrate what you say in your word into this week? Oh, God, help me to be faithful in asking and seeking and knocking and living in such a way that we would be faithful and others would be blessed as a result. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bob Sheridan. Pastor Bob Sheridan and Palos Bible Church reserve all copyright protections under applicable law. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.